a really great podcast because I'm feeling really funny and likable.
I think it's going to be really great because I look really great today.
You do. You have a hat on.
Yeah, it helps.
Welcome to Good Muslim.
Bad Muslim.
Bad Muslim.
Woohoo.
We have a lot to talk about.
We do. We're going to try this thing called segments. So we're going to try to segment our conversation. We got a lot of great responses. So we are editing based on what people have been saying. So we're looking forward to seeing how this next half hour goes.
In case you missed it, we were on PRI. That was cool.
Right. We were on PRI. That was going to be about 2 weeks ago.
And Valentine's Day is coming up.
Correct. Valentine's Day is coming up.
What is the good Muslim response to Valentine's Day?
Everybody should love everybody.
That's stupid. I think that's stupid.
What do you think is a good Muslim response to Valentine's Day then?
First of all, Valentine's Day is haram.
No, it's not.
It's haram.
Why do you think it's haram?
It's about like loving each other regardless of gender.
Islam is all about loving each other regardless of gender.
I'm so confused. I thought Islam was about beards and cartoon hating.
No. Maybe in the South. Maybe in the South, that's the perception. So what are you doing for Valentine's Day? You're married now. So this is...
So that means I'm doing nothing.
Oh, sad.
Why? Okay, people always think that that's sad when a married person isn't like... getting all cute and datey, but it's like, that's why I got married. I got married so that I didn't ever, ever have to do this again.
Still, I think your husband should be getting you chocolate.
Well, that's, I can buy myself chocolate, and he buys me the wrong kind.
Oh no, he doesn't even know your chocolate type.
Oh my God, you're turning this into more and more concern. So, you're single.
Correct, I am single.
By the way, available Twitter land.
Oh Lord.
And what do you do on Valentine's Day? You have Muslim Valentine's Day cards.
Yeah, yeah.
That are so awesome.
So for Valentine's Day, actually, I think me and some friends are going to be doing an un-Valentine's Day show. So we're getting together our single friends.
Is that what single people do? Is like an un-Valentine's Day thing?
I think it's what my kind of friends do.
Is that like how your people of single friends gets together? Like, I don't know because I'm married and like everything's easier on this side.
Oh, ouch. You know what? We go wild. We party and we have lots of fun.
That sounds expensive.
It is. It's a little expensive. But also I have these Muslim Valentine's Day cards that I've been doing every year.
That are awesome.
They're super awesome, if I do say so myself. This is the fourth year doing them, so I have 6 cards, and they are for sale on Etsy. You can get this year's set, and you can get past year sets on Etsy.
The only entrapment is how I'm captivated by your love, Tazzy Star. Check them out.
They're hilarious. Hashtag Muslim V-Day. So I will be mailing those out to friends for Valentine's Day. That's how I'm celebrating.
And I'm celebrating by... getting your Muslim V-Day cards.
Yeah, please do. They're on Etsy. You can go to my Tazzy Star Etsy shop to buy your Muslim V-Day cards. They'll be $10 per set.
When we were kids, I feel like Valentine's Day was like just basically candy day.
Yeah. Yeah. I felt like Valentine's Day was really tough growing up because my parents didn't know what to do for Valentine's Day.
What do you mean?
Like, you know how you had to do the card exchange?
Oh, so, yeah.
Because my parents didn't know that you could get the cards at the store. Or maybe they were just too cheap to buy the cards at the store. I, like, was making these handmade cards that were so cheesy and hokey that when my friends opened it, they were just like, oh, this is nice.
And now you're still making your own cards.
Now I'm still making my own cards, but they're, you know,
but they're
much
awesome.
Better. Much better. What about you? What was Valentine's Day like for you growing up?
So I always loved Valentine's Day because you got hella candy. Until fifth grade, when I gave Tommy a Valentine's Day card because he showed me around school. You and I have this in common. Mm-hmm. We both went to a different elementary school for every year.
Yeah, that's why we must be the way we are now.
Yeah. We're good at making friends and then we don't know what to do with them once we have them. Unless we do a podcast and then...
So was Tommy your friend?
Tommy, I thought was my friend. And I gave him a Valentine's Day card that was just like, thanks for showing me around school.
Like
and
you wrote that out?
Yeah.
Oh, you didn't just sign your name?
Yeah. Like, and then he was like, ew, gross.
Out loud?
Yeah. Oh, he said like super loud, Zara likes me. And I was so mad because I was like, Tommy, I only liked you because you were a pudgy.
What?
I only liked him because he was pudgy, what? And I felt bad for him.
You didn't like the hot guy in school or the football player? You went after the pudgy one?
No. Yeah. I was like, we are equal amounts of dorkdom.
Uh-huh.
We're both pudgy. We're both little.
Okay, maybe this is why you're married and I'm not married, because, you know, you had these kinds of standards, and, you know, I was going for the really hot guys, or at least that's who I had a crush on. You're like, crush on the dorky, chubby one.
For the record, my husband is a stallion.
You have to say that for the record on the radio.
I'm going to show pictures of David Beckham's abs. Call him Duncan. Yeah, I, like, you know, you had... But you had, like, secret admirers that you went after.
You know, like, I would have done what you did, except I just wouldn't have signed my name on it. I would have said, whatever, like, I have a crush on you, and stuck the card in their mailbox or cubbyhole or whatever it was called back then, and then, you know, not signed it.
But they totally knew it was you.
You know, I don't know. I still like to think that people don't know. You know, it was, like, 10th grade. No, they, fifth grade. I was 10.
They totally know.
They know now, if they're listening.
And you're like, so, okay, you gave these, like, secret admirer cards.
I didn't give out so many. You're okay, making it sound like this is what I do.
How many
did it once to that one guy in school?
I'm just curious how many people on Twitter maybe can reply and let us know if they've received a quote-unquote secret admirer card that now we know could have been from Taz.
Yeah, if you want to respond on Twitter, please feel free at TazzyStar at Zara Nu, hashtag good Muslim, bad Muslim, and we'll follow
and
the conversation.
I received a secret admirer card from TazzyStar.
What's the cricket sound equivalent to Twitter? Because that's what's going to happen.
Okay, so you had these, like, secret admirer cards. Was that because, like, when you were little, did you feel like you had to, like, because I knew I couldn't like boys openly because my parents would be upset.
Right.
Did you have that also? Like,
well, I felt like you had a lot of Asian folks in your school, right? So I think I was surrounded in the schools I went to by a lot of white folks. And I think what I experienced in that was that I just didn't find myself, I didn't think that other people found me attractive because I was the brown girl, right? So everyone had crushes on the blonde girls. And just growing up.
Bullshit.
I mean, it's bullshit now, but I think when you're in elementary school, that's kind of, like, really real. Like
the yellow hairs.
Yeah, the yellow hairs. But, like, the idea that, like, being brown is not prettier, that's not who you're supposed to.
Right.
You know, or, like, on the other side, it's like, so growing up, I thought I had to get an arranged marriage, and I could only marry another Muslim person. So it was unfathomable.
What, how old were you how old were you when liking guys and being aware of that, and then being aware of, like, you being brown girl in, like, blonde school. How old were you?
I think that's, like, since kindergarten, honestly.
Really?
Yeah. What about you?
Well, I wasn't horny in kindergarten.
Hey, I'm not saying anyways, but when did you, like, come to your recognition that you were not the same as other people?
Definitely, yeah, always.
Always, yeah.
Like, pretty much. Kindergarten, I think... I actually didn't speak English when I went to school, so I was in ESL first, and there I felt like, oh, I'm with a lot of people who are just like me, who don't speak English very well, and, like, everything is different and weird to them about where we are.
Yeah.
And then I got put in kindergarten, like, literally right when everybody was doing Christmas songs.
Right.
And I didn't know the words to any of them, and everybody knew the words, and they were all singing together and laughing, and I was like, how does everybody know the words to the song? I didn't receive lyrics. That was, like, the birth of otherness.
Otherness. Mm. Ugh.
And also because my parents were the only parents that yelled at the teacher for not giving me homework.
Oh, that's so funny.
I'm different.
I'm different, too. Speaking of different.
Speaking of.
Where Muslims are, like, really trending in the news these days.
We have really good PR.
What?
We have really.
I know. I think we're kind of contributing to that with our podcast. But I think, so at the time of this recording, this is just after the Just Feed Charlie stuff has been going on in the news.
And stuff is still unfolding.
So my question for you is, what does it mean to be a Muslim satirist in this world today?
Well, people don't think you exist.
Yeah, for sure.
There's that.
Like, Muslims or satirists?
Yeah, Muslim satirists.
Yeah.
Like, saying I'm a Muslim comedian, people are always like, oh, oxymoron, oxymoron.
Right, right.
You know? And, I mean, it is, the learning curve is so weird.
Yeah.
What do you find with your art?
Well, I think...
Because you have several layers of this, right? You're like, you're an artist, you're an illustrator, and your satire is in your art.
So I think with my art, the way that I kind of see it is that I'm trying to disrupt the narrative.
Destroy is very violent.
I know, it's destroying. I'm trying to disrupt the narrative that people have of what it means to be Muslim. So like one of my cards this year says, you've hijacked my heart, which makes people just feel uncomfortable, right? Like, oh, Muslim talking about getting hijacked. But right. Also, I'm taking it back and saying, like, you know what? People are saying this about me. I'm going to make it funny.
Exactly.
Yeah.
I feel like if we're going to be held accountable, then we get to be in charge of those terms.
Yeah, I think so. And I'm not saying that our terms are the be-all, end-all of what it means to be Muslim, but I think it's important that we have these dialogues and these conversations and, you know, that we have fun. Everything's too serious.
It is. Well, and in the face of questions that are absurd.
Yes. Then we have to respond with absurdity.
Absurd responses. Like, yeah. I don't think that anyone should respond seriously to questions like, you know, do you condemn these acts?
Right.
You know, it's a ludicrous question.
It's absolutely ludicrous. And for that to fall on a Muslim, just because we're Muslim. I think you were talking about how Muslims, when they go to the water cooler these days, they need to be completely schooled on global politics.
Yeah.
Which is just ridiculous because not everyone that's American has to be schooled on global politics, but by default, being the token Muslim, we kind of have to carry that.
In fact, most Americans know nothing about global politics.
Including me!
Right! Sometimes I feel like I'm not smart enough to be Muslim.
I know, I don't have time to do all this homework that's needed to be Muslim.
But you're like really good at it though.
Oh, thanks.
Like you carry like
I spend a lot of time on social media. So another thing that I saw on social media, speaking of social media.
Was it ISIS?
Of course it was ISIS. But in addition to that, I saw this really beautiful video of Ferguson and Black Lives Matter activists chanting and doing poetry in Palestine. I thought it was really beautiful.
And that had a title. Was it an event?
It was a trip that they took leaders of the Black Lives Movement from the U.S. to do this kind of cross solidarity trip to Palestine. And I think because of everything that's been going on in the U.S. with Black Lives Matter and all these terrible crimes happening to Black folks in this country, I think it was a really great sign of solidarity to see them show up in Palestine. And I think because I've been going to a lot of these rallies in L.A. for Gaza, rallies for Gaza, and it's always been, you always see like Muslim folks, but you don't see other kinds of folks there. So I think it's been fun also, I guess fun's not the right word, but it's been powerful to be a Muslim person going to Black Lives Matter protests and marches and also to see the solidarity coming from both sides.
Yeah, that's pretty cool.
It's super cool.
Speaking of lots of folks coming out in solidarity to support each other's causes.
Right.
Creeping Sharia
indicates
that maybe there is more support for Islam coming from other community leaders, and maybe, therefore, next step is Islam will rule America. Are we winning?
Are we winning? I thought it was really funny when we were talking about creeping Sharia last night. You're like, what are you talking about?
Yeah. Well, whenever people talk about creeping Sharia, they always talk about, like, they say it in all caps.
Right.
On Twitter.
Yeah.
Right after I've trolled Richard Dawkins. So maybe I deserve it for trolling. Maybe. But it's kind of my favorite thing to do.
So for people who don't know what creeping Sharia is, I think it's a term that Islamophobes use to kind of talk about when Muslimy things come up in America. People always say creeping Sharia. And I think the Muslim community kind of has like reappropriated it. So for this segment, we're going to start the segment called Creeping Sharia, where we see creeping Sharia happening in
first
the
up on creeping Sharia.
Yeah.
Chipotle.
I know. So for folks who've been following, Chipotle is no longer selling pork as an option for one of their meats.
And Alhamdulillah.
And the reason why they're doing it is they're stating that they can't find sustainable fair trade pig.
Which is what halal meat is, by the way.
I know.
Basically.
Basically, that's what people say, is that you're not supposed to eat pork because it's bad for the environment and bad for you, and there's also parasites and everything.
Also, non-Muslims out there, in case you didn't know, gluten, haram.
Really?
No, I don't know. Creeping Sharia in Los Angeles.
So that's our Creeping Sharia segment. So Chipotle. Creeping Sharia in Chipotle. So hopefully if you have a Creeping Sharia situation going on that
if you see Creeping Sharia anywhere. Like, I saw Creeping Sharia at Pier 1.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, you did see Creeping Sharia at Pier 1.
It was a book. It was, like, one of those book boxes. You know, you open it up and it's, like, inside of it. And it's like, ooh, as you open it, you look on the cover. It's like, oh, straight from the Orient.
Right.
Marco Polo has brought this.
That country, the Orient.
Which has now been taken over by Muslimania. Right. Like, wherever that world is. And I go to Pier 1 and there's, like, this one of those book boxes. And it is designed just like my Quran is designed.
Yeah.
But it doesn't say Quran on it yet.
Right.
Someday.
But you can open it, right? So it's like an empty box.
Yeah, so you can put your drugs in it.
Your drugs and stuff like that.
Yeah.
I think that's really smart.
Creeping Sharia at Pier 1.
$25. It's really expensive.
$25 is expensive.
So yeah, if you get a Creeping Sharia experience, hashtag it. Let us know. We'll use it in our next episode. So for our next segment, we often hear of people having these segments called Ask a Muslim. But we're going to do awkward Ask a Muslim. And these are going to be some questions that we've been hearing that are just silly and ridiculous and basically awkward. So I'll go first. Okay. I had to do this community event this past week for work. And while I was there, I was talking to a member of the community who's this older black man. And he was asking me, oh, so you're from Bangladesh and you're Muslim. So did you ever have to wear that veil?
Awkward.
So the answer to that is no.
That veil. The one veil.
Yeah.
Did you have to wear that veil?
And I had to be nice to him because I was at a work event, so I couldn't respond rudely.
Usually that's how it happens.
Yeah.
I mean, that's why they're asking in those kinds of situations, is because they know that you can't respond in a way that's uncomfortable.
Yeah. And I feel like it's manipulative.
For them anyway. Yeah. Yeah.
So, no, I didn't have to wear a veil.
That veil.
Because I'm Muslim. Yeah.
The one.
So that was my awkward Ask a Muslim. Do you have an awkward Ask a Muslim?
So, the other night.
Yes.
I was out with you.
Yeah, you were. We went to this Hollywood party.
Yeah. Super swanky.
Yeah.
And there was this guy who we were talking and it was going really well. And
that was with you the whole night.
Yeah. Well, you went to the bathroom for a little while.
This happened while I was in the bathroom?
Yes.
I was only gone for a little while.
Okay. I looked at you like, don't go to the bathroom right now.
I really had to go.
And you were like, I'm going to go to the bathroom. And when you left, he looked at me like, I am so in. This is set. She wants to sleep with me. Like, the smile on his face. And it was a pretty smile. It was a pretty smile. He was a pretty man.
He was a pretty man, but, you know, I really had to go to the bathroom.
And so while we were in this, like, moment alone.
Yeah.
And you were peeing somewhere.
In the bathroom. For the record.
He goes, so, like, what do I have to do now? Do I need to, like, ask your father's permission or something?
Wait, so what led up to this question, though? Because that question doesn't just come out of nowhere. It's not like...
You mean a proposal?
Yeah, like, I go to the bathroom and he asks this question. There must have been some setup to this.
Okay, I may have not been letting him know that I was married.
Yeah, where's your wedding ring?
I lost it.
Okay.
Kind of the bad Muslim thing to do. But I lost it. I lost it in the shower of all places. I was super upset.
Okay, so...
And, like, I didn't want to be that, like, jerk that's, like, you know, as soon as a guy starts talking to you, say, I'm married.
What happened? What was the sentence he said right before that? Like, what...
He said, what kind of Muslim are you? And I said... Well, I'm the kind of Muslim who parties.
That means I want to have sex with you. Just so that you know, when a guy hears I want the kind of Muslim that parties, that's what that means.
I didn't know that. I just was like, I party. Like, what was I going to say? Like, my whole spiel, my, like, whole tag, like, all of a sudden I was talking to a reporter or something. Like, it was really awkward. It was a super awkward ask a Muslim.
So then what happened after okay, he so said, I need to ask your dad?
I was,
did you say you need to ask my husband first?
That's so Muslim. No, I said, I just said, oh, I'm married. And he goes, oh, me too. Right. Me too.
I'm so glad this happened to you and not to me.
This is like all in the span of a minute.
Yeah, I was in the bathroom.
And then I just was like, I didn't know what to say. And he was like, so how's that going for you? And all I could think of to say was, well, it's consistent. I didn't really know how else to respond. Like, how's that going for you? I'm looking for other prospects. Like, what am I supposed to respond with? And I'm happily married. Thank you very much. But he was not.
Uh-huh.
And he was very upset.
Wow, that's quite the awkward ask a Muslim right there.
It was super awkward.
It's so awkward. Also, I haven't been hit on in like a year. And here we are in the same space at the same place. And I go to the bathroom and you get proposed.
Yeah.
Amazing. I need to start chasing after the pudgy, dorky guys is what my lesson seems
this
to be.
Man
for
was
this.
No Tommy.
This was no Tommy. Yeah, he was actually hot.
He was hot.
Yeah, he was
hot. This was a pretty
man. He was no hot doctor, but he was hot.
Your doctor. Can we please talk about that?
Yeah. So for people who know or don't know, I have a column called Radical Love. And in January's column, I talked about my super hot doctor who is...
Super hot.
Who is also a telenovela star. So
yeah, telenovela hot.
Basically, that's not a joke. Like, he is actually a telenovela star. And the whole reason... So I started Googling him because he was so high. I was like, I need to find a fault in him so that I can make my visits to the doctor easier.
And then which is the best thing to do. Find a fault in that hot person.
Right. And then so I started Googling him and found out he's a telenovela star. So for people who want to read it, you can go to the Pathios blog. You can also go to loveinshallah.com and it'll like push you in that direction. You can read up on it. But for people who have read it, you all should know that the hot doctor also read it.
Oh my God.
Yeah.
He read it?
He read it. My friend of a friend sent the article to him.
Wait. Go back. So, okay. You, timeline. You went in to go see him for an exam.
Yeah.
And then you left there and then you wrote the column about how awkward it was because he was so hot and he was like all up in your business.
He was doing an examination of me, yes.
All up in your business.
Uh-huh.
And you wrote it. And then what's the, like a week later or like?
Well, no. So he's been my doctor for 3 years.
Oh, what?
Yeah. Didn't you read my article?
I did. I didn't see you say 3 years.
Yeah. He's been there. He's been my doctor for a very long time, or relatively speaking. So
I think I may have been distracted by the photo. I think I spent more time looking at the photo.
But the article did just come out last month when we are recording this and he read it like that week. Yeah.
So now you can't see him anymore.
Yeah, I need a new doctor.
Did he text you and say hi?
No, he didn't text me. He did say hi through the friend of a friend, but basically, I need a new doctor.
I wonder if that means, if he texted you through a friend of a friend, what is the protocol? Is that
there
like
is
a,
no protocol.
Is he's that an invitation?
It's not an invitation.
It could be an invitation.
It's not an invitation.
You could be happily married to telenovela hot man.
No, I'm pretty sure that if I make any move now, it'll be restraining order.
But also, I would be a little bit concerned for you because he was, like, so hot that it was, like, sociopath hot.
I know. It was ridiculous.
It's, like, the kind of hot where you're like, am I going to be taken away to your domicile where you'll hide me away and slap me as soon as I get there hot?
So anyways.
We have a good Muslim award to give out.
Oh, we do? I love this segment. I think this is going to be fun to do.
I do, too. We have a good Muslim award to give out.
Just to preface this, I think one of the things that happen to Muslims are we're often judged, right? Like, people are saying,
no,
you're a bad Muslim.
Nobody says that. Who says that?
You do to me all the time.
Oh.
So I think what's fun about this is we're going to start doing a segment called Good Muslim Award so that we can finally highlight good Muslims that are who we think are good Muslims doing good stuff. So who is getting the award this month?
So there is the first woman's mosque being put together. Mm-hmm. The first woman's mosque ever to exist ever in Los Angeles. Yeah, in the U.S., in Los Angeles.
That's awesome.
Yeah, it is awesome.
Yeah.
January 30th.
Yeah.
And there's parking, which is really cool.
So I think one of the cool things about this mosque that's being put together is being put together through a bunch of Muslim women in the community. They don't have an actual location yet.
There's a female imam.
There is going to be a female imam. It's going to be all female-led prayer. And I think, as Islam, we don't ever get to hear, like, women's voice like that. I think it'll be really powerful.
And women gathering in prayer that way.
Yeah. They always put us in the back room, in the back, behind the curtain.
Where they think we won't look when the guys bend over. Hello.
I know, but we're totally going to look.
And I'm super distracted.
I know. Men should be in the back and women should be in the front.
I can't focus on my prayer.
I can't focus on my prayer either. We're mocking, but that's because these are the kinds of things that we hear men say to women all the time. So,
but also I can't focus.
I think that's just your ADD. So Good Muslim Award goes to the Women's Mosque.
Dun, dun, dun.
By the time this airs, it'll be after the first Jummah prayer. So we'll keep you all posted on that.
Yeah, I'm sure that there'll be ongoing meetings. For our final segment.
Yay, final segment.
We declare fatwa.
Oh my gosh, I love declaring fatwas because I feel I feel like so many people or all these like really religious clerics or whatever they're called, muftis or whatever.
The grand mufti.
They're always declaring fatwas all the time. So
I know.
I feel like
we can
declare fatwas, can't
we?
We can
totally declare a fatwa.
Okay, maybe for this podcast, we should just start declaring fatwas.
Yeah, I think we should declare a fatwa as we see fit. Mm-hmm. Do you have somebody you would like to declare a fatwa against?
I want to declare a fatwa against the bacon lobby.
What?
Yeah.
There's a bacon lobby?
Well, okay, so I just read this article about, you know how bacon is in everything now?
Mm. Is it? Sweet. Let's tell me why you want a fatwa, these benevolent people who have a bacon lobby that are out there making sure that everything has bacon in it and tastes good.
Or making it haram so that I can't pick anything from the menu.
That is frustrating.
It's super frustrating.
You should eat pork.
Or I shouldn't eat fast food. But one of the funny things about the bacon lobby, which I thought was super fascinating, was that back in the 80s, people stopped eating pork because there's like this health kick and everyone was doing step aerobics and like.
Oh, yeah. Jane Fonda.
Right. And so people stopped eating pork because they thought it was bad.
I had a Thighmaster.
You had a Thighmaster?
I totally did.
Oh, where is that Thighmaster now?
Yeah, I kind of need it.
And what was interesting.
Too much bacon. I have bacon thighs.
I know. I was going to say. I didn't want to be the one to say it.
Maybe. Oh, snap. Now I'm in on your bacon fatwa.
And then do you remember when they started doing pork is the new white meat?
Yeah, that was great.
Yeah, that was like in the 80s, right? So pork is the new white meat.
You could eat it and not be worried.
So apparently because they did pork is the new white meat, there was like a surplus of like belly fat, like pig belly fat. And the price of pork belly fat went down. They were exporting it to third world countries. It was like really cheap. So then the bacon lobby got together. They started working with fast food companies. And they said, hey, y'all need to put bacon in your sandwiches. And I think it started with something like Wendy's or one of these like fast food chains. They started putting bacon in their food because I guess things were catching on fire when you use regular like stovetops to use bacon. So they had to come up with a way to cook bacon that was not going to make things dirty.
Cause fires.
Yeah, and cause fires. So then they started doing that through the fast food. And then because people had this taste for bacon, then they started including it in more higher end stuff. And now you can find it in like ice cream and alcohol.
What? There's bacon and alcohol?
Yeah.
Those are both two things that I partake in. This is awesome. Also, totally understand the Muslim fatwa. So this Valentine's Day, I would like to thank the bacon lobby for all of their efforts in making sure that there's bacon in alcohol and bacon in mayonnaise and bacon in my life. But also, you've just been Muslim fatwa'd.
Bacon mayonnaise? Sounds disgusting.
You know what? We maybe should consider not putting a fatwa on it because bacon's responsible for killing white dudes everywhere.
How are they responsible for killing white dudes everywhere?
Blood pressure. Oh, I hate Muslims so much. Bacon, 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 die.
Speaking on behalf of all Muslims, we don't want white people to die.
Speaking on behalf of all Muslims, yes, we do. Just kidding, not except for my husband. Don't die, Duncan, because we haven't picked out a life insurance policy.
He's your token white guy.
You can't. I need him.
Yeah, you need him
for bank fees.
Maybe that's what I need. I need to find that token.
Maybe they'll get a Muslim V-Day card from a secret admirer, not so secret.
Maybe if you want to send me a Muslim V-Day card. Buy one and send me another one. Don't send me the one that you buy from me because that's kind of weird. Though that has happened before.
Are you serious?
Yeah, well, a friend of mine bought a Muslim V-Day card from me and then sent it back to me. It was cute. It was funny.
Doesn't she know that you know what it says?
You'd think, right? So speaking of Valentine's Day, don't forget to check out my Etsy shop. Just Google or go to the Etsy site and do Tazzy Star. And it should be there. And all the Muslim V-Day cards, all 24 of them. I have 24 cards now. It's been 4 years. They're all there. Anything going on for you in the month of February or March?
I'll be performing. You can look up my performance dates on my website. Come and propose to me.
Don't propose to her.
Propose
she's
to me.
She's married. Just because she's not wearing a ring doesn't mean she's available to be proposed to.
I'm lifting my eyebrows up and down in that creepy way right now. Happy Valentine's Day.
Happy Valentine's. Thanks for listening to Good Muslim, Bad Muslim.
Peace out.
Yeah, salams.
Thanks for listening to the Good Muslim, Bad Muslim podcast, hosted by me, Taz Ahmed, and my trusty sidekick, Zara Norbash. You can follow me on Twitter at TazzyStar. That's TazzyStar. And Zara at ZaraNu. That's ZaHRANOO. The show is produced and edited by Quincy Surasmith, and you can find us on the web at goodmuslimbadmuslim.com. To follow the conversation, please use the hashtag GoodMuslimBadMuslim. See you next month.
Creeping Sharia in Los Angeles.